but I think it'd be good if we gave him a crazy warm welcome from U-Turn Student Ministries. Give it up. You want this mic? You sure?
Set a fire in my soul.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Here in your love, here in your arms. No place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be. Set a fire down in my soul, Lord, I can't contain and I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul.
That's it, guys.
No place I'd rather be than here in your arms, here in your arms.
One more time.
No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be than here in your arms, here in your arms.
Good job, guys. That was awesome. All right. All right. We can be seated. Who's excited for school to be back? Anybody? Just pump. Just first day of school back. Just, yeah. No, there's nobody. But anyways, tonight I'm going to take some time. I'm just going to speak on our life story and what that means to me, what it means to y'all, what it means for our eternity of our life story. A few weeks ago, we had a lot of tragedies. Who remembers? We had like 4 major accidents in 3 days. It was one day there was a couple care flights, next day same thing. A boy lost his life on a four-wheel accident, and then the next day a guy had a bad motorcycle accident. And so when things happen like that, what do you automatically do? You get sensitive to that. You get sensitive to their families. You get sensitive to the idea of life. You start to think about things maybe in a different perspective you wouldn't when bad things happen. And through all that, that weekend it happened, I was in Arkansas, and we were going to the lake. I was pulling a boat, And one of the accidents that happened that week was a boat trailer blew out. One of the tires blew out, and it caused the boat to swerve, and it pulled the truck into a different lane, and ended up three people lost their lives. And so, like, before we pulled out, we got on the highway, and I was sitting there. I was like, guys, let's go ahead and pray for this trip. You know, let's pray for the things that's happened this week, and then that God just keep his hands on our trip. And sure enough, we started praying, and we got on down the highway. About 5 to 10 miles down the road, we had a blowout on the boat trailer. Same thing, but the Lord had his hands on it, and we pulled over to the side of the road. We got the chains. Nothing happened. But, like, through all that, it opened my eyes to say a prayer. Maybe if that wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have prayed. I don't know. This is a crazy thing to think about. I might have been that person, you know. It could have happened to me. The trailer could have swerved over, and I could have went into oncoming traffic. Who knows? But the sensitivity of that subject allowed me to do something different that day. And so that was just a testimony for me. I was very thankful. I told a lot of people about it, and it opened my eyes about something. But when we're born, the Bible says we're born and shaped in iniquity. So when we're born physically, we're born upside down, literally. When the baby comes out of the womb, your head is down. Brother Meyer talks about this all the time. We're born upside down. And if you look at this on a spiritual aspect, if you're born upside down, okay, you're spiritually upside down, just your whole life growing up, okay? Well, as a kid, you're at the age of accountability. You know, as a child grows up, you know, he's still innocent. He'll learn to sin. But until he reaches a certain age, he's really not accountable for his actions. And I would think that at our ages, it's like 12 to high school, we're accountable. When you reach the youth group, you know right from wrong. You know when you're doing good. You know when you're doing bad. So you're really at that age where you can make your own decisions, not on some higher level things, but for the most part, about as being good, being a good Christian, you can make that decision. So you're at the age of accountability. And so when you put it in the aspect of spirituality and you become like, say, I'm saved, or you find Christ, your spiritual man, when you're born upside down, you become upright. And that's what Brother Meyer says. He says, when you accept Christ and you become a Christian and you become saved, is that you're walking upright looking at a world that's turned upside down, because there's a lot of people that don't know Christ. When you go to school, I know we're just starting out right now, say that where you are, and say you've got the Holy Ghost and you've been baptized and you're on fire for the Lord, you're living right side up. When you get to school, you're looking at a lot of people that are upside down, and those are your friends. And that's the things I'm going to talk to you about today. Our life purpose, living an upside life, and not an upside down life. Okay, so this quote that came to me, I really enjoy this. I said, our life purpose determines our life story. Okay, our life purpose determines our life story, which ends in our life's destiny. So your life story is ultimately going to end into your destiny. Whatever your life is doing, whatever you're portraying, whatever you're living out, your life story is going to wind up to your destiny. Okay, so what is life's purpose? What do you think? What do you think life's purpose is? Is anybody? What do you got? Seven. What's your life purpose? To live for God? Anybody else? To worship God. To heaven. That's good. Anybody else want to say anything? Open mic.
Well, to an upside down
world. Yeah.
Success.
See, that's what I was going to say.
Monetary.
Yeah.
A lot of monetary things involved. You have a family.
Yeah.
You have a job. So there's other aspects of success. It depends on what your perspective is.
Yeah. Anybody else want to say anything on that side? Maybe not on the spiritual side. Like, a purpose in life, being successful, anything, anybody want to say anything? Like, what is somebody's goals, I guess you would say? Any seniors in high school want to go to college? Anybody know what they're wanting to do yet? What do you got, Derek? You just go to college? Yeah, right, let's start, man. Yeah, that's good. There's a lot of people that don't want to do that. But truly, what we should be focused on, guys, our life's purpose is to obey God's word, to live his word daily, and to share that word. As Aaron said, you know, taking someone, you know, teaching someone what you know about Christ. And that literally drives your purpose. That makes your life's destiny. That details your life story. Because without Christ, we're nothing. We're really not. We're just selfish people. We do everything on our own. And until we come to know God and accept Him and live out that Christian life that we're supposed to do, we don't have a higher power. So our purpose is going to be to get married, to have a good job, to be successful, to get acknowledgement from others, to have a social life. That's people's purpose. Okay, so like, what if you say maybe somebody's in the church and they're working on their job, and there's a lot of people who do this. This is real common. They're like, I just don't know if this job's right for me. I don't feel like my purpose is being served. I'm working at Walmart. I just don't like it. But literally though, okay, if that's the card dealt to you, you chose that job. You're working there. That's all your decisions. Okay, so, well, are you obeying God's word? Are you living His word out? Are you sharing God's word? Maybe that side of it, maybe you want to better yourself with a better job. Yeah, that's cool. But as long as you're doing these things, as long as you're living a good life, obeying His word, living by the commandments, you're living your purpose. So you shouldn't complain about anything. Just that should be fulfilled in your life. And then bettering yourself is this only up to you. You know, that's good too on that aspect. But as long as you're living that purpose out, you'll be successful. And then I know the scripture right now we're all quoting. What is it? So then faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. And so that's what we're doing. We're hearing the word of God. That's why it's so important to come to church. Why it's important to read and to share the word. Because when you're sharing it, people are hearing it. And people gain faith. And they build on that. And other people's life's purpose is starting to come out. So anyways, from that, we're starting a new school year. I guess everybody started Monday. Or is anybody not in school yet? Everybody's in? Everybody's in school? Okay. So this is a clean year, guys. I know this scratch everything that maybe you seniors, you juniors, sophomores, freshmen in high school. I was at North Mar from my first grade year to when I graduated. So I was literally in school with the same people for 12 years. And so like by the time I was a senior, everybody knew my faults. Everybody knew who I was. I wasn't a jock. I was in band. I played the trumpet. You know, so I was like classified in that area. I was a good guy. Didn't do anything wrong. I mean, so like at some of you guys' age, we're already classified. And it's a new year. It's a new beginning. It's a new day. So if there's things in our lives that we're wanting to change, it should be now. If you're wanting to make a stand for something that, you know, this is Christianity, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be holy and different, separated from the world. This is a great start to do that. You have a new slate. You have a new year for the school year. So I'm all about that, guys, getting on board and doing something different with our lives. This next month, we're going to be doing the Follow series. We're going to have 30 people be baptized in a month in September. Was it September 26th? We're going to have 30 students baptized. This is a great start. You're starting a school year. You can be focused, driven towards this thing that we're going to have so many children in here, some students. I shouldn't say children. Young adults, whatever it is. We're getting 30 people in here, and we're going to baptize them. And through that process, we got it lined up. We're going to be teaching Bible studies while they're getting baptized, while they're following these things. And not only following it just because it's cool or it's what everybody's doing in here, it's because they choose to do it. It's a decision and a commitment they're willing to make to live for God. So anyways, what are we facing nowadays at school? I know times have changed. I've been out of school six years now, I think, from high school. And I know things have changed. When I was in high school, we had a good grade. I mean, not too many people did some bad stuff. I mean, everybody, you had the casual sins and the casual parties and everything. But as far as a group, our class, no one really got in trouble. We had a good class. But, you know, that was just a happenstance. But things that we're facing nowadays, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. They're ungrateful, they're unholy, they're without love, they're unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, they're treacherous, they're rash, they're conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having form of godliness but denying its power, and having nothing to do with such people." That's what it says. So literally, we're going to a school year now. I would say that we're in the last days. Young people nowadays are so far into things that, you know, 30 years ago that we couldn't even imagine them doing. So we're living this right side up world,
coming into a school year full of all this. We're coming into people that don't love, that they're abusive, they're boastful, they're proud and unforgiving, and we're hit with this every day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. They're your best friends. And so, like, Wednesday nights are awesome, and we're having these cool services, but Thursday gets hit here, and then you're hit with that temptation. Your buddies are over here cussing. Girls, they're doing things they shouldn't be doing. I don't know. And it's like, oh, this temptation is with you, and you're trying to make a stand for what's right, and it's hard, and you fail, and you know what I mean? So this is why we should be so in track right now to do good, to start off good. It's a clean slate. We have all the opportunities to come against these scriptures here of terrible times in the last days. But it says later in 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17, it says, all scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. It's useful for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. When we start living our purpose and align ourselves with God, His blessings begin to pour out. You start to see miracles and wonders happen, and we begin to practice the fruits of the Spirit. Those aren't the scriptures there, but these are the things that we imply. The scripture says they're all God-breathed. They're useful for teaching and rebuking. So all these things that we just said here, the people of lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, these are all things that we can teach against. If you see it, your friend is doing something they just shouldn't do, hey, come to church with me on Wednesday. We teach against that. I don't cuss because this is what I believe, you know. Or if somebody says, man, dude, come on, let's go party. Let's go. I don't do that. I'm a child of God. I'm going to stand up for what I believe in. It's the Bible says use the scripture to preach against wrongdoing. And so we got to do that. We got to practice that, guys. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. These are the things that we should be practicing every day as Christ-filled people. And if we're wanting to stand and make a stand, that's that we got to be doing that. We got to be kind. We got to be full of love and everything. It's funny how God controls every situation we're in. He knows our ending. He knows everything. He knows what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to say the next 5 minutes. He knows. He knew you before you were born. He was in your mother's womb. He knew you, and He set you aside. Has anybody? Okay, we'll say this. You're watching a movie, and the guy's like going through some stuff, and you're like sweating. You don't know what's going to happen. You're wiggling on the couch because you don't know what's going to happen next. And then, like, all said and done, you're like, whew, he got out of that one. So the second time you watch the movie, it's no big deal. You know what's going to happen. But maybe you're watching it with someone else, and they're over there. They're like, man, I don't know what's going to happen. But you're watching all this, and you're saying it's going to be all right. He gets out of this. It's okay. Well, sometimes it's like that with us. Maybe we go through some trials in life where we get dealt this hand, and God's on the other side saying, I know your tomorrow. I know you're going to get out of this. Don't sweat it. It's going to be okay, guys. Keep looking forward. He's wrote the movie. He knows our ending. He knows our destiny. But like I said, if we're not living our life's purpose, our life story is not going to be defined to our destiny that God has written us. If we choose our own thing, if we go astray, we're going to start writing a story that wasn't set for us, a life that wasn't supposed to live for us. You're making your own decisions. The Bible says in James 4 and 14, maybe getting back to what I was saying at the first of, the tragedies and how life is short. You never know what's going to happen, all these bad things that happen. James 4 and 14 says, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while and then it's gone. So we got to live focused lives. We can't be rampant. We can't be in one day, you know, and then out the next day and then back in the next day. We can't do it. Like Brooke said a couple weeks ago, you know, you better be cold and lukewarm. What's the scripture? Because then the Lord will spew you out of His mouth if you're lukewarm. He'd rather you be one way than the next. So we literally can't live lives being good one day and bad the next. We can't do it. I mean, our flesh is what battles us every day. It's our biggest thing in life that you'll face is your flesh. And we have to have control of that, even at a young age. If you can get control of your flesh at a young age, you're only going to be more successful in life as you grow older. And Matthew 16:25-26 says, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. and whoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. It says, for what a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So what is it to gain the whole world in the success that you might be looking for but lose your soul? What if you get that million-dollar job but sacrifice church and things, a good life, good morality, for this good job? You know, it's not worth it to spend an eternity in a lake of fire in a place that we don't want to be. You know, I would rather work at Walmart and be happy and tell everybody about God and make it to heaven than go for some big shot job, and then you'll never know. You'll turn around and you'll be in places you never dreamt before, that you'd be before, living a lifestyle that you would never imagine. Maybe we have some family members that you've seen that. Maybe that you see some parents try to go for a goal, but only separated themselves from each other. It's not worth it, guys. We have to be a focused generation, because the Bible says we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Does everybody know that scripture? Do y'all want to quote it? What is it? We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people that... We got to read our scriptures, guys. Come on. But we do. We're called out people. We got to be different. I'm about to do an illustration right quick. Now, let's all get focused for a minute. I'm almost done. I'm almost done with my notes. I'm going to use Kylie. Use Aaron. Let's use Stephen and Tanner. Yeah, we got him over there. Now, fork him up. Getting a straight line here. Kylie can be first.
No, we got Stephen first. Kylie, you want to be right back here.
Keep going. I'm ready.
Almost out of.
You sleep?
No, I'm good. All right, Aaron, you'll be first, buddy. Okay, so if I'm God and this is judgment day, y'all rolling into heaven, and you're about to be judged.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, you're hoping that you'll get in there. Okay, so you have your life, this is your life story, okay? I'm good old God up here just waiting to put you somewhere. You're going to give me your story, okay? So this is your resume. This is your life. This is what you wrote. So I think God's going to sit here and he's going to be like, okay, I see that you got into church here at the age of 14. You started living for me there. You gave your life to me. You have a lot of stuff. You taught Sunday school. You got married. You had a good job. You were a leader in your life. And you sold out to me. You did what it took to get to heaven. You got baptized. You received my spirit. And, all right, Aaron, come on.
Yes!
Get into heaven. All right. So the next one comes, and Tanner gives me his story here, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, all right, man, you're quarterback of the high school team. That's cool. You had a lot of girlfriends, man. Good-looking guy. all right, man. That's about all I see there. What happened, man? Played
the game.
Tanner, I died on a cross for you, man. I shed my blood on Calvary.
What are you laughing?
Was that not good enough for you? But I never knew you. I don't need you, Tanner. Let's go. Well, Steven. All right, let me see you here, right here.
I'm just kidding.
Anyway, I'm not kidding. Anyways. Alright, Stephen, here, yeah, he's a good kid. Good kid. Yeah, good church. Alright, man. Bass player for the church. Focus. Man, leader in his life as well. I see you have some slip ups here. Oh, yeah, back on track. Okay, cool. And still dedicated to the Lord. Alright, man. Yeah, you did everything it took. Come on, Stephen. Alright, man. And then Kylie is up here. Hey, Kylie, I have your life story. I see that you went through a lot of stuff here. A lot of ups and downs, but always got back up. Cheerleader of the school. Chess club too, man. Went to college, got a good degree. Yeah, got back in church. Yeah, I see right here you got out for a little while. Gave yourself back to the Lord. What's this curve here, though? Yeah, maybe your family went through something, but how did that separate you from me? And I'm not seeing you get back on track here, Calvary. You can go with Tanner. I don't need you. Does anybody see the reality in that, though? I mean, how sad that's going to be, guys? You know? That you get up there and God's like, okay, I don't need your story. I paid the price for you. You didn't do what it took. You were selfish, arrogant, considerate, not considerate of others. I don't need you. Get out of here. That's sad. You know what I mean? And you wasted your whole life for nothing. You didn't live your life purpose. And that's what I was going to say tonight. Maybe I impacted somebody's life. Maybe I actually...